A couple of years ago, I shared a story. I've been here now for over 2 years. So almost to the exact date, 2 years ago, I shared part of a story that I'll share anew. So those of you who've heard it, I'm sorry, but there are a lot of new faces. But I want to complete the story today. My first assignment where I was appointed as pastor, the parish before I came here to presentation. Right when you're appointed as pastor, you shortly thereafter sit down with your finance council to go over the finances of the parish, make sure everything's going okay. So I sit down with my first finance council, and what do I find? The parish is $20,000 in debt. Was running a $20,000 deficit the year before. Now, if you're in a parish in Sacramento, a larger parish like Presentation, $20,000, it's not that big of a deal. Really, it's maybe 3% of the annual budget. The little parish that I was in, it was almost a quarter of the annual budget. So I'm thinking, Lord, what? You know, my first assignment as pastor here, the parish is going to crumble around me? Right? What are you doing to me? So for a few days, I'm stressing out, thinking, okay, how are we going to overcome this? What am I going to do? All of a sudden, early one morning, before office hours, the phone rings. Now, again, in a larger parish, it's not uncommon that the phone will ring late at night or in the middle of the night, early in the morning, for an emergency hospital visit. But when you're in a tiny little town with 150 parishioners, you know what's going on in the parish. It is rare that a phone call comes in the middle of the night or early in the morning. So this call comes, and I'm thinking, gosh, this is strange. I answer the phone. It's an older lady. She says, Father? Father, is this the Father? I said, yes, this is he. She said, Father, I got something that's going to knock your socks off. I said, oh, okay, what's that? She said, Father, are you sitting down? I said, no. She said, Father, sit down. Sit down, you're never going to believe this. And I think, oh my gosh, she's going to give us $20,000. So I sit down. She says, Father, I have a picture for you. I think she must mean a painting, right? Picasso, Van Gogh. She says, I have a picture, it's in mint condition, of my 8th grade graduating class from 1937 that would look great in your rectory. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, right? And she says, can you come to the house today and get it? I had a full schedule. I think, I don't have time for this. But then that little light goes off and I think, our Lord works in mysterious ways. So I said, yeah, of course, sure, I'll come by. I go to that lady's house. I sit down. She talks for 45 minutes straight. And at that point, I'm invoking the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, either bring this conversation to an end, or if you have something in store here, you know, bring it to fruition. All of a sudden, the lady goes silent. And she looks right at me in the eyes, and tears begin to stream down her cheeks. She said, Father, when I called you, I was not fully honest. She said, the main reason I called you here today is because yesterday I found out that I have less than 3 months left to live. I have terminal cancer. She said, Father, I've been away from the Catholic Church for 60 years. And I've lived a terrible, terrible life. The reason I called you here today was to see if there's any way possible that I can receive Holy Communion one more time before I die. The woman's dying request, Holy Communion. And in and through that, she understood that that meant her sins needed to be forgiven first. That's the part I shared 2 years ago. Here's the end of the story. I heard her confession. She received Holy Communion 2 months later. She had just a few hours left to live, and I was by her bedside. The cancer she was dying of was stomach cancer. So she had not eaten or drank anything in several days. Her lips were so parched that they were cracked and bleeding. Her tongue, from a lack of hydration, was so swollen that it was partially sticking out of her mouth. And I go to her bedside and I'm just saying some prayers and I'm holding her hand. And then I could tell she's trying to speak to me. I had to go get a little cup of water and spent 5 to 10 minutes just trying to take away her parched throat. Just trying to moisten it enough so that I could hear what she was saying. Even after working with her for about 5 minutes, her voice was so faint, it was just a mere whisper. I had to literally put my ear right to her mouth. This is what she was saying, and obviously she was suffering tremendously. She said, "Father, Father, He loves me. God loves me." And I said, "Yes, He loves you." And she said, "Father, I love Him too. I love Him too." Tears began to stream down my cheeks. I thought of the power of the Holy Eucharist and the gift of confession. My brothers and sisters, if we had one prayer to make, what would we ask of God? When God comes to King Solomon, he's just become king. He asks him, "Ask something of me, and I will give it to you." What does he ask for? He's just become king. He says, "Lord, give me an understanding heart to be able to judge your people, to guide them according to your will, so that I might know what is good and what is evil, so that my people can be faithful to you." John the Cross, St. John the Cross, great Carmelite saint, was one time given the same offer. He was in his Carmelite monastery. He lived at the end of the 16th, early 17th centuries. And he had noticed in the trash bin one day, there was a little image of our Lord that was old and beat up. So one of his brother, or his fellow monks, had tossed it. He thought, you know, this is not good for much of anything anymore. John the Cross is walking by and he thinks, you know, you can't throw away an image of our Lord. So he takes up this beat up old image and he brings it to his cell. And he spends time adoring our Lord in and through that image. That night, our Lord appeared to him. And he said to him, "Your love for me has touched me so profoundly that I will grant you anything you ask of me." You know what John the Cross asked for? He said, "Lord, allow me to suffer and be despised for you. Allow me to share more fully in your Son's cross." Because he knew that it was through the cross that the resurrection comes. That it's through the cross that we are set free from our sins. If you had one prayer, what would you ask for? Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, the great Carmelite saint, she said, "God loves me so much that he grants any of my prayers, so I'm very careful what I ask of him. I don't want to ask him anything that's not in accord with his will, because he'll give it to me." And actually, when there were times where she wasn't sure if God wanted to grant her a certain prayer or not, she would give those prayers to Our Lady. She'd say, "Mary, only give these to our Heavenly Father if it's what he really wants." St. Maximian Kolbe, after he died, they were searching through his private files. They wanted to discover, is this man the saint he appeared to be? They came upon a little document from the day of his ordination. He had written out his top 10 prayers that he wanted to make to God on that day. The very first, he said, "Lord, make me a saint and a great saint." Would we ask for virtue? Would we ask for holiness of life? If we want our prayers answered, what is the greatest thing we could possibly do? Our Lord said, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all things will be given unto you." If heaven is first in your life, I cannot refuse you. You know, sometimes we think, "Oh my gosh, I've made so many prayers and they're not granted the way I wanted them to happen, so what's the point anymore?" Sometimes we're praying incorrectly. I remember a group of sisters, they were in the Midwest, an abortion clinic open up 3 houses down from their convent. And they're thinking, "Oh, Lord, really on the street that we live on?" So they start praying. They say, "Lord," for 2 years they prayed this way, "Lord, let that house crumble. Right? Destroy it. Get rid of it. For 2 years, all these faithful nuns praying over and over the same prayers. One day, one of the sisters comes in and she says, you know what? Maybe we're not praying the right way. Maybe we should be praying for the people who are running that clinic. 2 weeks later, the manager of that Planned Parenthood center has a radical conversion and the store closes. Sometimes our prayers or the response to them are delayed. And we think, man, I've said this prayer 100 times. What's the point anymore? One day a lady called me. Late at night, mid-40s, a wife and a mother. She says, Father, you'll never believe this. I just baptized my 90-year-old father-in-law. She'd been praying for him for 15 years. The man was an atheist. She never stopped praying for him all those years. What was God doing? Well, I think he may have been doing what we don't fully understand because we live in the world. God lives in eternity. And so sometimes the prayers we make, he can hold them and dispense those graces at the moment they're most needed. At the time where they will be most opportune, that the prayer will be answered. Right? So praying for someone's conversion, maybe it's just not time. Or if God gave them those graces in the moment that we're praying for them, they wouldn't respond. And so he gives them when they're best, when they're most needed. Lastly, sometimes we don't pray or make certain prayers because we think, why would he answer my prayers? I've lived too sinful of a life. Who am I? 2 days ago, the church celebrated the feast of St. Mary Magdalene, a former prostitute, a woman out of whom our Lord drove 7 demons. In the second reading today, it says, all things work together for the good for those who love God. St. Paul doesn't say some things. He says all things. My brothers and sisters, that can even be our sins. That God in his mercy can use them to bring about good in this world if we give them to him. You know what our Lord said about St. Mary Magdalene? She loves much because she's been forgiven much. Almost as if to say, if she hadn't received such mercy on account of her sins, she wouldn't have loved me so much. We all want our prayers to be heard. May we seek first the kingdom of God and not be afraid to present our prayers to him, trusting that he will always hear and answer them.